And after that, Dr. Gunko is going to come and share the love of God and the message of God with us. So this passage is taken from 1 John chapter 4, starting at verse 7. Let us read the word of God together. Dear friends, let us love one another, for love comes from God. Everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God. Whoever does not love God does not know God, because God is love. This is how God showed his love among us. He sent his one and only Son into the world that we might live through him. This is love, not that we love God, but that he loves us and sent his Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. Dear friends, since God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. No one has ever seen God, but if we love one another, God lives in us and his love is made complete in us. This is how we know that we live in him and he in us. He has given us of his Holy Spirit, and we have seen and testified the Father has sent his Son to be the Savior of the world. If anyone acknowledges that Jesus is the Son of God, God lives in him, and they in God. And so we know and rely on the love God has for us. God is love. Whoever loves, lives in love, lives in God, and God in them. I'll now turn the message time over to Dr. Gunko. Thank you for coming to minister to us again.
Good morning. Good to see you all again. Know some of you from a number of years ago, and when we shared together in the shared ministry at Mount Vernon Place and Chinese Community Church. Some new faces. Always glad to see new faces when I go back to a congregation. It shows that it's growing and building. So Barb and I are pleased to be here and share with you. Let us pray. And now let the words of our mouths and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. In Jesus' name, amen. This sermon actually began with an article in the Washington Post. It was an article reviewing some of the ideas, some of the words that Mr. Rogers spoke. It's the first time I've ever given a sermon which started with Mr. Rogers. But, you know, maybe you remember Mr. Rogers. You know, Welcome to the Neighborhood. I am not going to sing that this morning. You're saved from that. But the article emphasized several, out of Mr. Rogers' writings, emphasized several concepts. And as I was reading the article, two concepts jumped out at me, and I want to read those for you. Basically, the article, or these items in the article about loving and being loved. Mr. Rogers said that to love someone is to strive to accept that person exactly as he or she is. To accept that person exactly as he or she is, right here, right now. It's the first quotation I want to share with you. The second is this. The focus of love is not just how important it is that you are loved, but how important it is to be loving. Those two quotations, let me repeat that second one again. The focus of love is not just how important it is that you are loved, but how important it is to be loving. And as I read that, it rang a bell for me. There's no scripture reference to it, but it rang a bell for me. And it's basically, if you'll remember our reading, which we've just shared together, out of 1 John, one of the great epistles of the New Testament, probably written by John the disciple, John whom Jesus called his beloved brother, his beloved disciple. The same John to whom Jesus, when he was dying on the cross, looked from the cross and looked at his mother Mary and said, "Mother, behold your son," and pointed to that beloved disciple John, and, "John, behold your mother." His love for his beloved disciple John was so much, so great, that he gave his mother over into John's care, knowing that he, Jesus, was going to die. This is a great, great scripture lesson that we've just read. As I've read this again, I thought, you know, Mr. Rogers wrote these words for children. The children probably didn't really understand, and that's not to criticize children, but they probably didn't understand. And yet, you and I are all children of God, each and every one of us, called to be a child of God, to grow up in the faith together, to mature in the faith. And we, as God's children, should know what this scripture reading says to us. It's a remarkable scripture reading. I marvel at the fact that this scripture reading says to us that God loves us. God loves us. God loves us as his children. So much so that he sent his son, Jesus Christ, to be a sacrifice for our sins. We are his children and he loves his children. We are sometimes his sinful children. And he loves us even then, even unto the end. And so he sent Jesus to us as that, and for us as that sacrifice, showing his great love for us. Brothers and sisters, this is God taking the initiative. I don't know about you, but I know about me, and I am I'm not always the person that God wants me to be. I'm not always the person that I want to be. And yet God loves me. I'm not always lovable. There are times when I know I'm not lovable. There are times when I know everybody else knows that I'm not lovable. But God loves me anyway. And I think each and every one of us could make that same statement. We are not totally what God wants us to be. We do not always do what God wants us to do. And yet this wonderful, wonderful gift of God's grace, that God loves us nonetheless, and made that sacrifice of his son for our sakes. That's this divine initiative that God reaches out to those of us who, even in our disappointments to him and for him, he yet loves us. God loved his people when these words were being written a couple of thousand years ago. God loves his people still now. God loves each and every one of us gathered here today. This initiative that I've talked about, of God reaching out to us, to his people, this is not his first initiative. God took the initiative of making us when God created the world and created human beings and created this wonderful, wonderful creation of which we are a part. God acting on behalf of his creation. God acted, took the initiative when the children of Israel, were in slavery in Egypt, suffering under the yoke of the burden of the oppression by the Pharaoh. God took the initiative. God sent his servant Moses to lead the children of Israel out of slavery. God took the initiative to lead them in that journey out of slavery through the Exodus, across the River Jordan, and into the Promised Land. God took the initiative when his people continually fell away from him, and God sent prophets, Isaiah and Jeremiah and Ezekiel and Hosea and Amos and on and on. God sent those prophets to say to his people, "Come back home. Come back to me. I know who you are and what you are. I know who you are not and who you cannot yet be, and yet I still love you. And God took the initiative for our salvation, our well-being, when he sent Jesus. And when that same Jesus loved us enough and was faithful enough to God's call to him that he was willing to die on the cross for us, that's God taking the initiative, God reaching out to us, not just a couple of thousand years ago, but even in this moment, God is reaching out to us. God's saying, I love you. I love you even when you're not lovable. Isn't this a wonderful text that we're working with this morning? It's remarkable, not so much that we love God, but that God loves us. This initiative is a great mystery. Remember that quotation I used from Mr. Rogers? Love is that event when we love someone exactly as they are here and now. Just as they are here and now. And that's what God does for us every day that we live. This is what God has done throughout the salvation history of humankind. All through the scriptures, God's love continues to grow. But you and I have to make a response. And the response is that if God loves us, we must love one another. We show our love to God as we do love our fellow human beings. We love others, we're called to love others just as God has loved us. The person and maybe at work with whom we don't feel very lovable many times. We're supposed to love them. Love them where they are, exactly as they are. The neighbor who is troublesome in the neighborhood. We're called to love them where they are, just the way they are. Because that's what God, through Jesus Christ, has done for us. Loving us where we are, exactly as we are. So, if God loves us, then we have to love one another. Exactly where the other person is, exactly as they are. So I want to ask a couple of questions. One question is, do people see God's love in us? Do they feel God's love through us? Because we're that conduit. God's taken the initiative, but we're the ones who are called to carry through. Do people see God's love in us? Do they feel God's love for them through us? So we must love one another. That's how God feels our love for him. That's our response to him. It's not enough to mouth the words, but to live out this text, to love one another. I have a couple closing questions. And they go something like this. Does God know we love him? Does God really know that we love him? Have we shown this? Do we show this? When we say our prayers, do we tell God, God, we're thankful to you. We're thankful for your love. And we return your gifts to us. Do we say that in our prayers? Do we look at the cross in these days, these days, the great 40 days, the great 40 days between Easter and Pentecost, when the church relives Jesus' life and death and resurrection and the coming of the Holy Spirit, in these great 40 days, do we look again at the cross and see how God loved us? And do we thank God for loving us so much that he sent his son to live for us and to die for us and to be raised from the grave, dead for us? And we look at that resurrection event, Easter last Sunday, for example, And every Sunday is a little resurrection Sunday. Do we come thinking every Sunday of that resurrection event and how God showed his love for us by sending Jesus? Jesus was willing to suffer and die on the cross, and God raised him up so that we might be raised up. Do we look at the resurrection, that resurrection event, and thank God for loving us? And then two final questions. Can we ever love God as much as God loves us? And we hold the answer in our hands and in our lives. And the second question is, can we ever love Jesus as much as he loved us? These questions, the way we answer these questions, hold the answer to this whole idea of the sermon of how we respond to God's initiative, God's reaching out for us and to us and loving us. Can we ever love God as much as God loves us? Can we ever love Jesus as much as Jesus loved us, to live for us, to die for us on the cross? We're going to finish the sermon, if you will, in a few minutes, by singing the hymn, Jesus Loves Me. We all know Jesus loves me. When we sing that song, remember Jesus said, I and my Father are one. When we say Jesus loves me, we are saying God loves me. So let's, as we sing that song, let this be a great affirmation of praise and thanksgiving. Jesus loves us, loved us enough to die for us, to do what his Father wanted him to do for us. So we praise the name of Jesus, we praise the name of God, because Jesus does love us, and God does love us. Whoever we are, God loves us exactly as we are, right here and now. Let's pray. Gracious God, we give you thanks for your love. It's incomprehensible. We can't begin to imagine your love for us, your giving of that love for us. We acknowledge before you that we are often not worthy of that love. We're often not worthy of the love we receive from our brothers and sisters, from those closest to us in our families. But we receive that love. Help us, O God, to have the grace and the strength and the wisdom and the guidance to yield ourselves to you, to give ourselves to one another, and to be truly loving of each other, exactly who we are and where we are, no matter what. Send us forth then from this service of worship to be a different people than when we came in, to be a people who go out and in a myriad of ways show our love, both to those who love us back and to those who don't seemingly care. But we give our love even as you gave your love for us. All of this we ask in Jesus' name and for his sake and through his love. Amen.
We thank God.